Welcome into Conversations. I'm Justin Earle. First, I'm talking with Lisa Paulson. She is the author of a book, Unconventional Journal. It's about the creation of a sustainable community up in High Wind.
The story of High Wind, from vision to community to eco-neighborhood. And it's really it's my own journey, my own life journey, and ending up with our starting a community with a small group of people here north of Milwaukee, and trying to exemplify and live out and work with some values that we feel are perhaps better values than we're finding in mainstream society.
Sure. Well, tell us a little, what is High Wind?
High Wind is what is called an intentional community. This is intentional means a group of people who have come together around a particular goal or vision or philosophy to try to exemplify that philosophy and how they live together.
And what does that mean specifically?
I had really, probably most of my life, I had questioned a lot of the mainstream values of materialism and consumerism and the trend of always wanting more and more. And had wondered, along with a few other people, is there a better way? Is there a more sensible, humane way to live, perhaps? And in the early 1970s, I had heard about a very unusual community in remote Scotland where 300 people had come together to live some of these ideas that we were talking about. And their main purpose was to try to restore the balance between human beings and nature. And one of the things they recognize very strongly is that human beings are only one part of the whole system of nature, and that we're all, every form of life is interconnected, dependent, and we need to respect that and to live with a sense of cooperation with nature. And this is what this community is all about. And I began to read about this. There were a couple of books out at that time, and decided I simply had to go and find out for myself.
Sure.
And here I found 300 people from almost every country in the world living together in this remote area on the North Sea, and actually living out these values with a real sense of respect for everything they touch, not only people, but the vegetables that they were planting, the food in the kitchen, their tools. It was just a very different way of living.
So as opposed to the, say, I don't want to say throwaway society that we live in generally.
That's right. And it was interesting that way back then, 35 years ago, they were talking about what is pretty mainstream now, the idea that there is definitely climate change going on, that the whole Earth is being degraded faster and faster, and we may not have very much time left before our non-renewable energy sources run out, and we'd better start being aware of this and doing something about it.
Yeah, and, well, ignoring the politics of saying the word global warming, which can be either a turn on or turn off for certain people, it's more important, I think, to recognize just that we're living, or the way that you've set up High Wind is a way for people just to sustainably live.
That's right. And this was what they were talking about 35 years ago was living sustainably, and they were doing it. And at that time, I think nobody knew what that word was. That was just a sort of a weird, esoteric term.
Well, and I think even now it remains a buzz term. So why don't you tell us some of the things that you actually do, both that you saw there in Scotland and what you do now in High Wind?
Well, I saw what was happening there, and I thought, this is an idea that's really important. I have to bring this back to Wisconsin. So I did. I came home, and my first job was to persuade my husband.
Right.
Very feet on the ground political scientist, and the idea of communicating with your plants in the garden was a little bit foreign to him, but he very soon began to realize that these were important things, and we needed to look not just at what we wanted for today, but what sort of a world were we leaving into the long-term future for our grandchildren and generations to come. And it was in the spring of 1977, we brought the founders of this Findhorn community to Milwaukee, and they gave a talk at UWM and the UWM Union, and to our amazement, 1,200 people showed up.
Wow.
It seemed that there were a great many people in our area who were beginning to question some of these time-honored belief systems and ways of thinking and being, and were open to what they were talking about in Scotland. And so out of that, my husband, Belden Paulson, began to change his own focus to think of himself more as a futurist, looking at the long view, and began to teach classes around this. And there were a number of people who were very excited about these ideas and who came to everything we offered in terms of education. There were workshops, there were courses for credit or non-credit, there were conferences we put on, really looking at this long view of the future.
Yeah.
And out of that, a small group said, look, we've talked about these ideas long enough, but time is really running out. We need to do something that's a tangible demonstration. We need to do something concrete. And so at that point, Belle and I, who had a small rundown farm up here near Plymouth, 50 miles north of Milwaukee, thought, well, this is a good place to bring people to begin to strategize what we might do. And so volunteers began coming up on weekends, and we renovated some of the broken-down farm buildings and brought in running water for the first time. And we decided that our focus really should be something to do with renewable energy. And so we applied to the U.S. Department of Energy in Washington and received a small grant to build what we called a bio-shelter. This is a demonstration building, a passive solar building that instead of consuming energy, actually produces energy.
Oh.
And so we got this grant in 1981. And called a meeting of some of our constituents at Kenwood Methodist Church in Milwaukee and thought, well, maybe a dozen people will show up. But again, to our surprise, 125 people came to this meeting in the dead of winter. And we said, look, we've got this money. It wasn't a lot, $25,000 to build a building. But we're going to do it. We're going to need some volunteers to help build this. And so almost immediately, several people stepped forward. There was a carpenter who said, I'll take charge of the construction. There was a part-time librarian at the Milwaukee Journal who said, I will give up my job and come and live up there and work on some of the technical aspects of this. There was a school teacher whose contract was going to be up a few months from then and said, I will leave the teaching situation and come up and grow an organic garden because people will have to be fed.
Right, right.
So this is how it started. And I'd say within a year we had six or eight people who had moved up there, were living there, and then many more volunteers would come on weekends to help to build. And so this is how the community got started. We hadn't really thought at first in terms of creating a community as pretentious as Findhorn seemed to be.
Mm-hmm.
But as people made the commitment to come up there and to live and to build and to grow organic vegetables, we realized we were a community.
Well, sure. It just sort of sounds like it took on a life of its own.
That's right. That's right. And we decided to call ourselves High Wind, partly because the wind blows very hard up here, up on our high ridge, and also because we were aspiring to some pretty highfalutin ideas.
Certainly. We're talking with Lisa Paulson. She is the author of a book called An Unconventional Journey, The Story of High Wind, From Vision to community to eco-neighborhood. And I think a lot of people are in the position these days where they want to go, again, to use a buzzword, off the grid. But to start, and my father is one of them, start composting and growing his own vegetables as opposed to going to the store, and start repairing clothes instead of just throwing them out and buying something new. Are there some tips you can go? Because what you've done, radical is the wrong word, but is a lot further than most people are willing to go just in the sake of society. But they want to do a lot of the things that you do. Are there some simple tips that you can give to people so they can follow your example and start down that path to sustainability?
One of the things that happens when you get together in community, you don't have to duplicate a lot of the machines that every one of us has in our individual homes. You know, everything from washing machines to lawnmowers and that sort of thing. Also, you're consolidating the effort that goes into growing your food together and cooking together. I realize not everybody wants to live in community, but these are some of the things that that we did. I think one of the most important things that turned out to be sort of our flagship demonstration was the fact that we not only built the bioshelter, which was at that time, in the early 1980s, a cutting-edge technology.
Right.
Those of us who decided that this was a way of life that really made a lot of sense to us and we wanted to commit for the long haul, we built our own solar homes. So,
okay.
So for many years, we have had groups of people, actually thousands of people, have come to visit us and to tour our solar homes. We're on a national solar home tour, for instance. And one of the things I always loved to say in those early days was, because the house that we built has no central heating, and just two wood stoves. And I love to tell people coming on these tours that we had a zero fuel bill, that all we had to do was to go out and pick up a few dead sticks in the woods to start our wood stoves. But when the sun was shining, this is the amazing thing that people don't seem to get even now. If you build a house with very good windows facing south, and this is passive solar heating, and the sun is shining, it might be below zero outside, but without any auxiliary heat whatsoever, you're going to be having 70 to 80 degree temperatures.
Wow.
And we would find ourselves at, 20 below zero, and we're in T-shirts in our house.
Right. So by using clever engineering, you're able to go, again, off the grid.
Yeah, you could go off the grid. One of the things that our next-door neighbor, David Lagerman, who is the one who is at the Milwaukee Journal Library, has been our technical coordinator all these years, and he installed photovoltaic panels on his roof, and more recently a huge device called a solar tracker, where the solar panels move all through the day to follow the path of the sun. And he's producing so much energy, so much electricity, that he's selling it back to the local power company and getting a check every month.
That's nice.
Pretty nice.
Yeah. One of the other things, and I know we don't have a lot of time, but I want to talk about, is one of the challenges of keeping the community in harmony. When you've got people with a lot of different ideas about where they either want to see the community go or there's conflict, how do you do that in this setting?
That's the biggest challenge of communities. You end up having many, many meetings, and we were committed to making all of our decisions by consensus. In other words, we didn't do anything unless everybody in the community agreed. And so this made for some very long meetings. And some people got impatient with it, people who wanted to just get on with it and who were the doers rather than the process people, who felt that how we got to the end point was just as important as getting there.
Right, yeah.
And also when you have people coming from every walk of life, people who had been total strangers, who are living very closely together, there are bound to be differences in patterns of how you work and how you think. And so we also had to deal with differences that, you know, differences that came up and had to be resolved.
Well, and those are the things that even, I mean, you look at it in a community, those are the things we deal with in the workplace every day. So there are a lot of lessons that can be learned.
That's right. That's right. And one of the beautiful things about an intentional community is that in a very small scale, we had no more than 22 people at our height. And our community went for about 12 years that in the same intense way until we decided after a while we just wanted to relax all that and
sure.
live more as what we are calling now an eco-neighborhood rather than this very intense, closely knit community. But it was really important that when we were working in these 12 years mm-hmm. that we worked at consensus and problem solving, and that was certainly a big part of learning how community works, and to be able to figure out solutions on a micro scale. We felt also this was an important demonstration for the larger society.
Yeah. An Unconventional Journey is the name of the book. Lisa Paulson is the author, and she's my guest here on Conversations. You can get the book by going to thistlefieldbooks.com. Now, High Wind is located up in the Plymouth area. If folks want to come up and experience the community, do you welcome them in?
Well, actually, we're not running the community as we did once.
Okay.
So we're not doing tours of that sort, although we're working since then. We've been working very closely with Milwaukee Public School System. We had a contract with a middle school in Milwaukee where we had 700 inner-city kids coming up here for programs and teaching them all about solar energy and nature lore and so forth, which was a tremendous experience. And so education on every possible topic, everything from organic farming to how to build solar houses, looking at the more philosophical aspects of what we were about, education or sharing whatever it was we were learning was always the important thing that we were doing. We were not a little community, a little utopian
right.
community, shutting ourselves away from the rest of the world. But we definitely wanted to be out there carrying a banner into the future and showing people the way.
Yeah, and I definitely recommend people check out the book to hear the story of how the community formed, and it gives a lot of ideas that are good, too, to take forward into your own life. Again, you can get a copy of the book by going to thistlefieldbooks.com or send an email to thistlefieldbooks@gmail.com to get more information. And Lisa, I want to thank you very much for taking a couple of minutes and talking about the experiences you had in developing and sustaining High Wind, a sustainable community. When Conversations returns, I'm Justin Earle.